Ladies and gentlemen, it's June 21st, 2021, and there's so much to cover today that I scarcely know where to begin. So I hope you'll join me for a nice cup of pine needle tea, and we can just explore together the severity of where things are, including the fact that China is now reportedly arresting and hiding independent grains analysts who dare to report on the bad condition of their grains crop domestically or the fact that they're running out of stocks locally. They're doing this, of course, to tell the rest of the world that things are fine here. Don't worry about it. We're going to keep prices low so that we can continue to buy up record amounts of grain, corn, sorghum, barley, anything basically that they can get their hands on. You can read here from GE Captain, China's buying so much corn that its ports are clogging. We've been talking for months now about their record purchases, buying decades worth of corn in a single week. Of course, that's only one of the reasons that their ports are congested. Some of the others being that they have shut down ports like Yanshen due to COVID. It's just, there's a COVID outbreak, so we're just going to throw yet another wrench into global shipping. And of course, in the U.S., the drought continues, and we just heard this past week that the federal government has cut the allocations for California's Central Valley farmers down to zero. Zero water available for Central Valley means that they're forced to leave fields fallow, and we'll take a look at some footage of these vast expanses of land that normally feed our nation that are currently empty, that are just going to waste. Now, this is all, of course, happening on the heels of what we've been covering, these year after year poor crop yields, prompting Arlen Suderman, an expert analyst, to say that, look, after the Safrinha crop, the Brazilian corn crop this past season had such a terrible failure, then really we require the U.S. to have a record crop above trend yields this year. But now as we shut off the water and we have a tremendous drought across the West, that's clearly not going to happen. So why does he use the word require? Because the whole shell game, the whole global agricultural trade require, it's we're now looking at a collapse in this situation. And to get a sense for how severe this global grains shortage is, I think rather than start with these details, we should step back and say, what's the goal here? What is the solution for which they are engineering this crisis? And that is to give credence, to justify the climate lockdowns, the Sunday laws, the biohacking of humanity to emit less carbon dioxide. You think I'm kidding? Let's start then with some footage from these people who first want to add climate change as a cause of death to death certificates. And boy, if you think the COVID deaths have been manipulated, wait until you see what they do with climate change deaths. That'll just be off the charts. And of course, all hunger deaths in this near famine we're approaching will be pegged on cow farts, pegged on your car, your carbon emissions, again, to justify a complete technocratic takeover, the climate tracing, eye in the sky, the biobots in the sewers, the perfect control that they desire will be ushered in on the heels of this global famine, just as was foresaw with the food chain reaction game, right? We've talked about this script for years now, but we're seeing it executed now in real time. So let's recap with their plans to add climate change as a cause of death, to engineer tiny humans that have a smaller carbon footprint, because that gives you a sense of just how far they're going to take it, just how bad they want this crisis to be as they achieve the 500 million number on the stones there. Let's start there, and then we'll dig into more coverage of the drought and the situation in China. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer Broadcast.
Researchers from the Australian National University are calling for climate change to be added to death certificates. The experts from ANU's medical school says while official records over the past 11 years show 340 deaths in Australia were due to excessive heat, their new analysis found more than 36,000 deaths over that period could have been attributed to heat. If true, those figures would put Australia's heat-related mortality rate at about 2%. The ANU academics are pushing for death certification to be modernised to reflect the impact of climate change as a secondary cause of death in instances of heat exposure or asthma attacks due to bushfire smoke.
Yes, climate change as the cause of death, because what better way to justify, what better propaganda to usher in complete control than to say, look at the millions of people that have died. And of course, we already see the scripting here as well, with people like Bill Gates saying, hey, climate change is going to kill more people than coronavirus, with Time magazine saying climate change is going to kill more people than infectious diseases. CNN out there saying, oh, it's probably 250,000 people a year from climate change conservatively, right? They've already started messaging that climate change is killing people. And so now they want to add this as cause of death so that they can just count up as many as they want. What's the goal? The goal is to justify things like this.
Matthew's paper really was about what we might want to do to make ourselves, how we might ethically edit ourselves for climate change, for example. But so I'm really curious to hear where you take all of this.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm probably more on the more permissive side of this whole spectrum. I think that I agree with everybody here that in the near term, the research should go forward. I don't see much of a big problem with sort of synthesizing yeast, you know, genomes and sort of, or studying sort of aspects of the human genome. My view is that what we need is a really robust ethical framework. And within this ethical robust ethical framework, I think there's a way going forward where we can do this ethically. But there's actually a lot of opportunities for this to solve big world problems. So one thing is the climate change. And there, I'll just use, sort of climate change is really a big problem. We don't really know how to solve it. But it turns out that we can use human engineering to help us address climate change. So I'll give two examples. So one is that people eat too much meat, right? And if they were to cut down on their consumption on meat, then they would it would actually really help the planet. But people are not willing to give up meat. Yeah, you know, some people will be willing to, but other people, they may be willing to, but they have a weakness of will. They say, wow, this steak is just too juicy. I can't do it. I'm one of those, by the way. So, you know, but so here's a thought, right? So it turns out that we know a lot about, we have these intolerance to, for example, I have milk intolerance. Some people are intolerant to crayfish. So possibly we can use human engineering to make it the case that we're intolerant to certain kinds of meat, to certain kinds of bovine proteins. And there's actually analogs of this in life. There's this thing called the long star tick, where if it bites you, you will become allergic to meat. I can sort of describe the mechanism. So that's something that we can do through human engineering. We can kind of possibly address really big world problems through human engineering. Another example is,
You go first.
Yeah. And another example is sort of, and here I'll go first, right? You'll see that I'm the smallest person here, right? And Amy's the smallest person. So it turns out that the larger you are, think of the lifetime sort of greenhouse gas emissions that are required to sort of the energy that's required to transport larger people rather than smaller people, right? But if we're smaller, just by 15 centimeters, right, that's a mass, I did the math, and it's about mass reduction of 25%, which is huge. And 100 years ago, we're all on the average smaller, about 15 centimeters smaller. Right? So think of just the, lifetime greenhouse gas emissions if we had smaller children, right? And so that's something that we could do through some sort of human...
Could we,
Yes, setting aside, should we? Don't need to ask that question. He's just a bioethicist, after all. Matthew Lau, as he calls himself. It's the only reason he gives lip service to a robust ethical framework, as he suggests that we should genetically engineer people against their will to be meat intolerant, or give people cat-like eyes that reduce the need for lighting at night because of our carbon footprint, or we can genetically engineer our children to be the size of cats because over the lifetime they'll have less greenhouse gas emissions. These are his suggestions, and ladies and gentlemen, yes, they sound crazy, don't they? They sound equally ludicrous as vaccine passports sounded 18 months ago. But given the right crisis, and given the appropriate amount of fear pushed out through the propaganda outlets, you can see how people would line up for these things just as they are, virtue signaling as they get their kill shots right now. And it's not just Matthew Lau who's out there saying these crazy things. No, he is walking hand in hand with Klaus Schwab and the people at the World Economic Forum how bioengineering will change our world in the next 10 years. This is what it means when he talks about biohacking and cybernetics as part of the Great Reset. As part of this fourth industrial revolution, engineering a post-human world, where, as you can read right here, citizens vaccinated by consuming edible vaccines in plants. Well, no wonder they need control over the food supply. No wonder it's going to be illegal for you to have a garden, right? Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is their plan, and there's no one coming to save you, I'm sorry to tell you. It's going to be up to you to get the word out and for all of us to fight this right now. And why am I talking about this? Why is Christian going off about, you know, humans the size of cats? What does this have to do with food? Because if I just say that they're shutting off the world food supply, then I sound crazy. But it's not until we have a cup of tea, pine needle tea, and acknowledge their own words, their own plans are so crazy, are so satanic, and this transhumanist future that they have envisioned is being created by virtue of this huge crisis, this worldwide famine, climate change, they'll blame for it. And I'm not the only one saying this at this point. In fact, just last week, a Dutch member of parliament stood up and saying, we're going to have food shortages if we keep replacing our fertile agricultural lands with these wind farms. This is insanity, and it must stop. Well, now that we've taken, you know, I'm not holding back anymore, ladies and gentlemen. I never did, but at this point, we've got to be all in. And so that's why I wanted to really do the deep dive into the motivations behind why they're just turning off the food. And now let's talk more about how they're doing that.
With drastic limits placed on what little water they have.
We've all made serious choices of what fields we can water and what we can't.
Tom Favero says he and many farmers along this west side of Weber County are having to watch some crops die. People like Dean Martini.
That corn there where I can't water it, don't have the water, makes me sick to see it go to heck like that.
With limits on amount and time, he says there isn't enough flow to make it across his fields. While some of the corn is drying up, he's had to let this whole field of barley go.
That hurts, buddy. That hurts.
All after he's put the work in.
Plowing, foot fertilizer and everything on, and then see this. That makes a guy sick.
It all means less feed for his dairy. He'll have to try and buy from other farmers who also have shortened supply, driving prices up.
If we ain't gonna have it, then yeah, cows are gonna have to go too.
Favero, who only grows feed, says he won't have enough to go around.
We're gonna be back in production at least 30% of what normal should be. And hopefully we're only at a lack of 30%. It might be closer to 50%.
And the key phrase in there was, the animals will have to go too. The cows will go. You can see this isn't just bad for crop production. This is, in fact, an attack on ranching as well. Now, moving on to California, and I hope you saw the first piece I did on the drought water wars, where we could pretty clearly demonstrate that we had more than 5 years worth of water 18 months ago, and somehow it's just gone. This is clearly an engineered drought, a manufactured situation we find ourselves in. It continues to get worse and worse until just a few days ago, the federal government actually said, we're going to cut those allocations to zero. You're now going to get no water. And some of the reactions from farmers are pretty desperate.
Paddocks once packed with tomatoes to cotton in Salvador Parra's farm now look like a barren wasteland. As California suffers its worst drought since 1977, everyone, from farmers like Parra down to the average consumer, will soon be feeling the heat. A third of Parra's 6,000-acre Burford Ranch now lies fallow, and he's had to dig deep for water for the remaining crops.
Because of this drought, we're having to pipe water from another well. It's a 4 miles, taking us 4 miles worth of pipeline to get this water here.
Parra fears that consumers will soon pay the price.
So consumers should be worried about garlic and onions and other crops, because come this time next year, they're going to be very scarce and the cost is going to be higher. Most of the garlic in the United States is grown here in California, and so not having the water, growers will not be able to grow it.
California is one of the country's top producers of vegetables, berries, and all sorts of crops.
The warning from the state to thousands of farmers that their water could be shut off is more than just a cautionary notice for the agricultural community.
Well, essentially, if you don't have a well, you're really facing some hard times.
Farmers say this could lead to catastrophe.
We've already seen about 15% of our workforce severely impacted by this drought.
The State Water Resources Board notified 6,600 farmers Tuesday that they could face water cutoffs as the state deals with the ongoing drought, dry conditions that have already cut off federal and state irrigation supplies.
We are seeing unprecedented amounts of fallowing. We've already lost several corn crops across the state.
Anya Radabaugh says a number of farmers have fallowed land, meaning acres will not be used, left untouched.
If you have orchards or vineyards and you're told to cut back your water, cut off your water, you're essentially killing that orchard or that vineyard.
Bruce Blodgett says what could happen is that smaller operations may have no choice but to shut down, which could lead to layoffs and a loss of revenue for county governments.
For those that have permanent crops, this could be devastating.
The state says the cutoff may continue until winter rains come. In the meantime, farmers do their best to mitigate potential devastation by recycling water.
And before I move on, let me just amplify a couple of the things we just heard. One, that we're also seeing hay shortages, which means farmers and ranchers are competing for the ability to feed their animals. And secondly, that we're not just cutting off water to annual crops, but also to orchards and vineyards. These are things that take tremendous amounts of capital investment, and in some cases, like almonds and walnuts, a decade to establish before they even produce. So this is a lasting reduction in our agricultural output. And the story, again, is the same across California, into Oregon, where it's also being conflated with the white nationalist, white supremacist, militia, Ammon Bundy nonsense, even as the mainstream media prints stories about QAnon supporters are going to get violent now because they can no longer trust the plan, right? So we should all be very concerned about the scripting around this false flag looming as they cut off the water to farmers and make people very desperate, because this is the pretense for the weaponization, the turning of the entire police state apparatus, and indeed even the military, against Americans. This is very concerning. I told you there was a tremendous amount of information to cover today. And if I were just doing this for clicks, if I were just some professional YouTuber and that was my shtick, then I would cut this all into a little tiny bite-sized things. Oh, humans the size of cats, isn't that crazy? That's not my goal. Okay, I'm not trying to waste your time or my time. I want to have a big picture conversation about what they're doing. They're moving to a post-human world and how they're doing it through the engineering of a global famine that we're now on the brink of. What that means is that we have to start growing food, we have to start spreading the word, we have to start saving seeds and sharing them with our neighbors so that they can grow food, and we have to quickly create a new local food system and a distributed, decentralized way of moving forward. The only alternative to their centralized, perfect control, totalitarian, technocratic state is one where we're all working together to feed ourselves. So let's start doing that today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching. Please spread the word about this. You can find this report and all my reports on iceagefarmer.com. If you appreciate this broadcast, if you value this information, please help me keep it running. There's a few ways you can do that listed at iceagefarmer.com/support. And I very genuinely appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, be well.